Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, it is by your grace that we have breath this day. We thank you for the gift of life, and we thank you for the gift of eternal life in your Son, Jesus Christ. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Making the right calls as a referee, whether you're in the sport such as soccer, basketball, football, or baseball, is a tough assignment. Once upon a time, 50 years ago, I was an ump for two games in a fast pitch church softball league. And boy, oh boy, there are a few calls I made and the complaints I heard. I decided, I don't like the heat, let me get out of the kitchen. Besides that, my self-confidence wasn't so great, though I thought it best to step aside and let someone do the judging who was better at it than I. Would you believe they gave me $5 a game? And I said, whoopee-doo for all this grief. It ain't worth it. So my umping days were over. And every time I see a tough call on a TV, on sports, I say, thank God I don't have to make that call. Well, our Lord Jesus shows us in Matthew chapter 7 the importance of making right judgments in relating to others and in our relating to God as we seek his face in prayer. And so my title of my message is The Golden Rule in Prayer. So I'll start first with properly relating to others. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 1 through 5, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way that you judge, you will be judged. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold the log that is in your own? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Our Lord's teaching is that we will be judged in the same way that we treat others. Since at times we are guilty of doing the same thing that we're criticizing others about, Jesus warns us kind of stiffly. We ourselves have failed in so many ways. To truly repent of our sins and flee from evil. So I think the warning to each one of us, including myself, because I'm not just preaching to you, I preach to me. Cedric, don't be such a stinking hypocrite. You got a log in your own eye, and you're belly aching about the speck in somebody else's eye. Repent of being such a stinking hypocrite. That's in human nature. We all do it, and we all got to watch out for it. This is a warning from our Lord that we stay away from playing the part of the hypocrite if we condemn in others what we do ourselves. This admonition, though, sometimes is muddled in the way people understand these words of our Lord. The command, do not judge, does not mean we need to suspend moral judgment as if anything goes, or you can't see anything bad about my behavior. That's not what Jesus is talking about. If that were the case, well, just do whatever you feel like it, and don't judge. Think about how often we encounter situations where we are legitimately judged, whether in the arena of schools when you get a grade on a test or on a subject. whether you're judged as an employee in an annual employee evaluation, whether you're judged not to be in compliance with a law when you get a speeding ticket, or a letter from the IRS. All these examples I just mentioned are not prohibited by Jesus' words, "Do not judge." Who wants to live in a world where it's a free-for-all? Make up your own rule. If you feel like driving 100 miles an hour down Frederick Road, just knock your socks off. There are parts of the United States where that's true. I don't want to be there. I think it's bad enough that I'm going 70 on Route 70, for crying out loud. But even the more informal words that we have with one another, in which we do give legitimate constructive criticism or correction that a person has for another, aren't necessarily a violation of Jesus' admonition, "Do not judge." The intention of our Lord's teaching is that as a follower of Christ who has been insulted and wronged, we must not harshly judge someone else by refusing to forgive them. That's what this admonition is all about. And judge people by the measure that you judge yourself. So what that means for me, not in an extreme way, but in an honest way, I should be my harshest critic about myself and give others grace. Doesn't mean they're perfect or I'm going to deny that they do wrong. I need to be more harsh in my judgment about myself and give others some leniency and grace. It doesn't mean I'm not allowed to correct my children. I have. Or other people under my care. But I need to do it speaking the truth in love and realize even sometimes when I do that, to my best intentions, I may not quite got the truth right. So Benner, eat some humble pie and tread carefully. If you must, do so, but do with grace. We must also seek to be accurate in our judgment of others. Jesus said elsewhere in John 7, verse 24, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." He was condemning the Jewish religious leaders for their rejection of him, in part because of where he was raised in Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And so he says, stop judging me by mere outward appearances. But I think our Lord's words also apply to us as we minimize our own sin and magnify the sins of others. By seeing our own sin, it will help us then to show mercy to others. Our Lord then gives a rather satirical illustration about a man who has a log in his eye trying to get the speck out of his brother's eye. The Lord's counsel is for the one who has a log in his own eye to get rid of that first and then worry about the speck in his brother's eye. Condemning others for their sins is a failure to exercise forgiveness. Only a gentle and humble correction that first recognizes one's own greater faults can then you be able to help someone else. The Lord Jesus is urging us not to write off our foes and not to refuse forgiveness to them. And the follower of Christ is bidden always to extend mercy. God is the judge who always does right. Our judgments sometimes are right, and sometimes they're not. So tread carefully, people. The golden rule, which is mentioned in the concluding verse of this passage, fulfills the demands of the law and the prophets. And it's a practical application of the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. The negative form of the golden rule was well known in Judaism of the first century, which said this: don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. Jesus flipped the phrase and stated it positively: do to others what you want them to do to you. This ties together what he has taught in the beginning of this passage about the right, fair, and just treatment of others. It also refers back to what he had previously taught concerning God's goodness and his willingness to give what is reflected in how we treat others. And so as we give to others grace, we're only mirroring what God does for us sinners in extending his grace, his mercy, and his forgiveness 70 times 7. That brings me to my second point, and that is properly relating to God through prayer. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, the Lord Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." The verbs ask, seek, and knock are present tense verbs which should be understood as continuing action. In other words, keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. The disciple is never to become weary of praying to God, knocking at the throne of God's grace, begging for his grace and mercy. Our efforts in prayer is commanded, but never apart from the fact that God is helping us to pray. In fact, as we walk in obedience to Jesus Christ, our prayer should be, "Help me, even at those points where I'm not quite praying according to God's will, that God would bring me to the place that I pray according to God's will." What a tremendous blessing. The God who commands us to seek his face also gives us the grace and the desire to seek his face and not to give up. Not to give up. We pray every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Part of that prayer is, "Dear Lord, Jesus, come." We've been praying that for a millennium now, but it's still true, and God wants us to continue to pray. But also pray that justice and righteousness may prevail in our world. We ask in prayer, we seek to learn God's truth and knock by doing God's will. And so it's very important that we properly relate to God in prayer, keeping in mind that God is to be revered as the King of the universe as we humbly come before him. That means we dare not demand anything of God because we are sinful creatures. We don't deserve anything of God's grace, but we pray for his mercy. We, with proper humility and right reverence before God, bow before him, making our petitions before the Almighty God and our Heavenly Father. Prayer must not be viewed as coming before God mainly to get him to do what you want him to do. We must follow in the footsteps of our Lord and temper our prayers with, "Not my will, but thine be done." The Lord Jesus then uses the illustration of a human father and our heavenly father as we make our requests of God. Matthew 7, 9 through 11 says, "Or what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" The Reformation Study Bible makes this helpful comment, quote, "The general sinfulness of humanity is assumed here, since even those who call God Father are said to be evil. Yet by God's grace, flawed human fathers meet their child's requests in love. How much more will God the Father answer his adopted children's prayers?" Even though human fathers are sinners, selfish and self-centered as all people are, they still know how to treat their children right and to give them what is good. Would God the Father, the perfect Father who is abundant in grace and mercy, do any less? Would he not rather give the good things of his kingdom to those who ask him? And the gifts of our Heavenly Father that he gives to us is intrinsically better than the gifts of any earthly father. For he gives what is best for us. Not always what we want, but what is best for us. And so you cannot take these words of ask and you will receive as if just ask God for anything and he'll give it to you. Because what you are maybe asking of him may not be beneficial for you in the long run. And that too is a demonstration of the mercy of God. Spiritual gifts are not always visible to the physical eye. Even in our Lord's version in Luke's gospel, it says, our Heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. What Luke's version includes, I believe, is the help, assistance, and comfort of the Holy Spirit, especially as we persevere in our prayers to God. I've said it once, I'll say it again. God always answers our prayers. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait. As we come back to the concluding verse of this passage, I repeat this thought which I've commented on previously. As adopted children of such a gracious Heavenly Father, the followers of Jesus Christ must be generous themselves. All that they want men to do for them, thus in the same way they must do to others. In making this our habit, we are mirroring the mercy of our Heavenly Father. Do you want to be treated kindly? Then let us treat people kindly. Do you want to be forgiven when we are hurt by our neighbors? Then we must forgive our neighbors as well. When we agree to do something similar for each other, a reciprocal arrangement or relationship is the embodiment of all the law and the prophets speak of, which is in the summary of Christ's law that we love our neighbor as ourselves. May we hear God's word to us to properly relate to others and properly relate to God in prayer. Let us pray. Merciful God, in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, you give us good gifts. You give us the gift of the forgiveness of our sins, the gift of eternal life and salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Teach us to give the gifts of love and mercy to our neighbors so that we may do unto others as we wish them to do unto us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.